Bethany Lutheran here in Warren, Oregon. Today I'm preaching from Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Luciano Pavarotti said that when he was a boy, his father, a baker, introduced him to the wonders of song. He urged him to work hard to develop his voice. Arrigo Pola, the professional tenor in his hometown of Modena, Italy, took him as a pupil. Pavarotti also enrolled in a teacher's college. On graduating, he asked his father, "Shall I be a teacher or a singer?" "Luciano," his father replied, "if you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair." Pavarotti later in his life wrote, "I chose one. It took 7 years of study and frustration before I made my first professional appearance. It took another 7 to reach the Metropolitan Opera. And now I think whether it's laying bricks, writing a book, whatever we choose, we should give ourselves to it. Commitment, that's the key. Choose one chair." Our gospel text for today starts off with, "Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words." Now, if we back up several verses, we read, "When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet." Jesus had been preaching on the corruption of the Pharisees and their temple practices for the past several months. Since the people were under the authority of the Pharisees and they could do never enough to please them, there was a lot of tension between them. The people liked hearing Jesus call out the holier-than-thou Pharisees. So if the Pharisees were going to quash his popularity, the offense would have to come directly from Jesus. They began to hatch a plan to trap him. We read that they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Now, the Herodians were supporters of the policies and government of the family of Herod, and they were known for their sensuality and corrupt living. We have to ask ourselves why the Pharisees, the leaders of the national religion, were in a relationship with such corrupt people. And why would the Herodians have anything to do with the synagogue leaders? Well, at this time in history, all friends of the family of Herod were opposed to Jesus and were ready to join in any plot to be rid of him. The memory of the baby Jesus slipping away from the death sentence issued by a previous Herod had left a bitter taste. So this becomes a case of an enemy of my enemy is my friend. The Pharisees despised the Herodians, but they could use them. The Pharisees sent their disciples along with the Herodians to trap Jesus with a question. Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? For the sake of the crowd surrounding Jesus, and thinking they can smooth talk Jesus into letting down his defenses, they address him as teacher and praise his genuine teaching while setting the trap. The unspoken is, okay, Jesus, choose one chair or the other, but either one will be your downfall. Will Jesus tell the people to pay the taxes that are used to suppress them and watch the crowd turn on him? Or will he say the taxes are unlawful and have the Herodians drag him before Herod with the charge of being an anarchist? Again, the Pharisees underestimate Jesus. He sees right through their ruse and calls their disciples hypocrites. Then Jesus says to them, "Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Without thinking, one of the Pharisees' disciples reaches into his purse and pulls out a Roman coin, that which would be used for everyday commercial transactions under Roman rule. The emperor's image with a laurel crown is on one side, with lettering declaring him emperor and his divinity. The reverse side declares him high priest. The coin utters blasphemy against God, the God of Judaism. Carrying that coin makes the antagonist the hypocritical hypocritical compromisers, not Jesus. They are the ones who bought into the pagan system. They are the ones carrying the pagan and blasphemous image into the temple. Jesus' reply is to give Caesar that which is already his. The coin bears Caesar's image, give it back to him. Even though it was a cruel pagan government, the local citizens did have relative peace and safety. They had food to eat and a place to live. It's right to have to pay some taxes, though admittedly, the taxation was highly inflated. Jesus finished by adding, "Give to God what is God's." So what is God's? Even as I wrote this, I could hear you. That's a duh question, Pastor. Everything belongs to God. He's the creator and sustainer of all. Nonetheless, there is something we can give to God. We can give to God our praise, and he receives it gladly. We give to God our offerings, and he extends his kingdom of grace. We give to God our sin, and he erases the debt and gives us grace. How awesome is that? God gave us our lives, our being. We say we are his, and yet each day we have so many entities competing for, even demanding our time, our loyalties. How do we decide? What part of me, my gifts, my resources, my time, my energy, do I give to whom? Do I pause to help the old man in the grocery store, or do I quickly move on because I really am in a hurry? Do I ignore the abuse another is undergoing at work in order to protect myself and my paycheck? Do I pocket the incorrect change given to me when I pick up my morning coffee, or do I give it back? Do I show up at a committee meeting at the community center to speak out even though I may be laughed out of the room? Or do I just not go at all because I don't believe my voice will really make a difference? Do I recycle Or do I throw my plastic and paper in with the rest of the trash because I'm pressed for time? Do I take the time to call my representatives to advocate for a just budget and limit on prescription costs? Or do I assume someone else will do it? Do I give more to taxes or to God in the church? This alone can be a good indication of who has authority over you. All of life is a constant negotiation for all we have and all we are. How do we choose one chair? How do we decide what is serving God by serving others and what is detracting and distracting from giving to God? If we seek power in the system or work to become part of the establishment, is that taking allegiance away from God? Or is it another way to serve God in this world? Living this daily balance and struggle is what it means to live under God's authority. What are we to give to God? The things stamped with God's image would be a good place to start. Just like Caesar put his image on that coin, God put his image on us. Genesis 1 verse 27. So God created man in his own image. We are more precious than silver and gold because our true value comes from being stamped with the image of God. We need to take inventory of how we spend our money, our time, our energy, our resources, our gifts. Check your checkbook. Where does your money go? Is it going to God or self? Check your calendar. Where does the majority of your time go? Where do you go and with whom do you associate? Are you honoring God with your actions? Reflect on your emotions. Do you tend to act out of conviction and hope, or do you tend to act out of fear and despair? The struggle with these questions of value and loyalty is what it means to seek to live a life of faith. We will never get it perfectly right, which is why we must rest on the promise of grace and forgiveness. First and foremost and forever, we are God's beloved children. And as part of our liturgy tells us, we give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee.